Continue in our study this morning of foundations. This is the series that we do every August as we kind of kick things back off for the school year and things that are important to us. And last week, Pastor Josh set the stage for us so well, talking about the fruit of your foundation. So this morning, we're going to talk about growing the fruit of your foundation. John chapter 15, starting in verse 9, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word this morning? John 15, starting in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command: love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you: love one another. Now, Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would listen, that we would respond to you, that we would leave here changed for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you got a copy of the bulletin this morning, you noticed we did something different. We gave you a full third sheet for you to take notes on. There are two reasons for that. There may be some artwork that you need to fill in later on. We'll get to that. But also at the top of the page there, you see that circle. That's our measurables. On the outside, love God, love others, share his story. That is our mission. That is our purpose statement here at Spring Valley. And what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a little bit about that, but really everything else that's in the middle right there. So last week, Pastor Josh started us off from here in John chapter 15, talking about the fruit that remains. And another way that we could say that is love God. So you see there on that circle at the top there where it says love God. That's what we were talking about there. So what Pastor Josh was saying, as we walk through that, as we abide, as we remain, as we love God, what we see is that there is fruit. In other words, we understand, because of remaining in the love of God, remaining in walking with him, that there is fruit, that we are believers. This causes us to worship and to join together into fellowship. Now, worship, what we just did a moment ago, is one expression of worship. That is worship through song. Most of the time in church world in America today, when we talk about worship, that's what we mean. When the band is playing, when we're singing our favorite song, that is only one aspect of worship. We also worshiped through prayer. We worshiped in our time of giving. We can worship actually apart from this place. Even when we're not here, we can worship. And so when we're loving God, we are joining together and we worship. How does this happen? Well, if you look on the inner kind of circles there, there's two things that kind of tie in there, and that's gather weekly and give consistently. When we gather weekly, when we come together as the bride of Christ, as the church of God, it causes us to have this thing where we start to kind of maybe even like each other a little bit, and it's pretty neat. And as we come together and as we grow in the mission of God and we understand what our purpose is as individuals, and what our purpose is as a church, we say, I want to get involved in this in other ways. And we recognize that the Bible tells us that one aspect of worship, one way that we show God that we love him, is by giving, and giving consistently. If we go back to last week, Pastor Josh, point three of his sermon was obedience. And really, worship and joining and gathering and giving are all acts of obedience. And so as he was sharing with us about how important it is for us to abide and remain, by the way, I hope this week that you were able to abide in Jesus more this week than ever before in your life, that you took extra time to really dig in deep and drill down deep into His Word, and to spend that time where you're meditating and reflecting on who He is and how His love for us has changed everything about us and everything about our world. I hope that we took that time to really love God this week. But when we love God, we want to act out in obedience. This is what Pastor Josh said last week. Do you want to know if you're a follower of Jesus? Look at the fruit. If you want to know if you're a follower of Jesus, see what comes out of your life. And so we go back to say, is there fruit of our foundation? If there is, if that fruit looks like Jesus, guess what? You're a Jesus follower. But if we were to go back and look at our lives and not see fruit there, if we were to go back and say, well, that doesn't really look a whole lot like Jesus, maybe we need to reflect on, do I really know Jesus? Not know about Jesus. Do I really know Jesus? Pastor Josh also said this, we obey from approval, not for approval. Because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, because of the love that God has for us that is never ending, we can obey out of that. Not in order to gain God's approval, but because He has already approved of us. So these acts of obedience, learning to know and to love God, it leads us to love others. So last week, as I said, Pastor Josh talked about the fruit of our foundation. This week, we're going to talk about the growth of the fruit of your foundation. Number one, the growth of our fruit is demonstrated in unexplainable joy. Look there at verses 9 through 11. He says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The New Bible Dictionary defines joy as this. It's a quality and not simply an emotion grounded upon God Himself and indeed derived from Him, which characterizes the Christian's life on earth and also anticipates eschatology, that is the study of end times, okay? The joy of being with Christ forever in the kingdom of heaven. We could boil it down and say this. Joy is more than a happy emotion. It's a deep-seated characteristic that begins, resides in, and ends in relationship with Jesus. Let me demonstrate the difference between happiness and joy. The other night, the Philadelphia Phillies were playing the Chicago Cubs. Y'all knew this was coming. All right, and we were losing. It was 5-1 going into the bottom of the ninth. And the Phillies come up to bat, and they started kind of chipping away, and finally Bryce Harper comes up to bat, bases loaded, we're down 5-3, and he hits a walk-off grand slam into the upper deck at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. It was incredible. I've watched the highlight like 73 times. If you want to see it afterwards, come and find me. I will let you watch it on my phone. It's awesome. All right, and the joy that I had was short-lived. It wasn't joy. In fact, it was happiness, and I enjoyed it. It was awesome. You know what happened last night? The Phillies lost to the Padres. Not as much happiness right there. You see, that right there is temporary. It's just a little bit of something that happens every once. That's not what we're talking about here. This unexplainable joy that we're talking about is deep-seated in because of our relationship with Jesus, and it comes from Him. It comes from loving Him and knowing Him and drilling down deep into who He is, into the bedrock, not just getting the fluffy surface things that I show up to church to get my feel-good on, and I can go home and be the rest of my life and no big deal. But it's coming here because I have to come. I'm drawn here because of the love I have for God, that I want to be here. I want to be around His church. I want to worship corporately. I want to be a part of what's going on, that there's this joy, and I can't even explain it. It's just there because of my love for Jesus. And so we see a couple things about this joy. Joy in God leads to peace from God. Have you ever been through a situation, and in that situation, you have this strange peace? That doesn't come from you. Certainly doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from social media doesn't come from Satan. It comes from our relationship with God. Look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He begins this section talking about rejoicing in the Lord. He goes on to say, don't worry about things. And he ends up in saying, hey, listen, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have the peace of God in the midst of those trials. Joy in God leads to peace from God. Joy in God can lead others to faith in God. If we look at Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22, and we're not going to take time to read all of those verses there, but here, basically, Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel in the city of Philippi, and they get beaten, they get thrown into jail, and it says at midnight, after they had been beaten and thrown into jail, by the way, jail was not great. Jail's never great, but jail was not great. It was basically just some rat-infested hole somewhere where they would throw the prisoners down in, and everything in their room was everything. It was the eating area, it was the bathroom area, it was the sleeping area, and if you wanted food, hopefully you had friends and family that would bring food to you. Otherwise, you'd probably just starve and die in your rat-infested cell down there. That's what they were in. They had been beaten with rods. I've never had that happen, but I can imagine also not great. And so they're down there, and what does it say that they're doing? At midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I'm going to be honest for a second. If I'm beaten with rods and thrown into prison that is a rat-infested hole in the ground, that's not my first reaction, me, in the flesh. But here what happened is there's an earthquake. The jailer thinks they've all run away, and he says, no, we're all here. And what happens? Verse 30, the jailer came in and said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When we have peace, when we have joy in God that leads to peace from God, it can lead others to faith in God. Because they look at you and say, you're weird. What's going on? I want that. Peter tells us that we were called to be a peculiar people. Strange. Strange in a good way. Strange in that all that we have, we're focusing in on Jesus. That our whole lives are about talking about someone who died. And then also talking about that we too have died in Christ. And that we can't wait to be in heaven with Him. And that everything that we are, everything that we're about is about Jesus. And that as we walk through those things, there's peace, and it draws others in. Number three, joy in God during trials causes us to keep a right perspective. Look at what James said in James chapter 1. Consider it a, what's that word right there? Great joy. We're going to come back to that in a second. My brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now listen, when we go through trials, when we go through really difficult and hard things, probably one of the last things we're thinking of is this is a great joy. The word great in the Greek, you know what it means? Great. Some of you will get that later on. Here's what James is saying. When you're walking through the difficult, know that God has a greater plan for you than what you currently have, that His desire for you is to look more like Jesus than ever before. And so even in the difficulty, it can be great joy because why? He wants you to be perfect and mature and complete, lacking nothing. He wants you to look and act and talk and think just like Jesus Christ. That's the end goal. When we have joy found only in Jesus Christ, this is how we can walk through life. Unexplainable joy can only be found in abiding in and remaining in Jesus. This joy is a manifestation of God's love for us, which must spill over into our love for others. Did you know that there is an unexplainable joy in serving others? There's a very natural progression here. When we truly love God, when we are abiding in and remaining in Jesus Christ, when we say, He is my everything, He is sufficient, He's all that I need, He is my life, when that is truly the desire of our hearts, when that is the focus of our hearts, and we love Him, that spills over out of us, not to just love God, but to love others, to love people around us, to love the church of Christ, and to love those who don't know Jesus Christ. So when we say we love God and we love others, it's not just, oh, we found some words that kind of fit together really well. We say, no, this is a natural progression. At Spring Valley, what we're doing here right now in our worship gathering, this is what we call the love God phase. This is the introduction to who Jesus is. This is the introduction to knowing who God is. And then as we go deeper in relationship with Him and we get to where we're saying, okay, not only do I love God, but I now love others, this is where we start to get to know other people around us. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can come into this room every single week and you sit in a way that you're facing one direction, right? You can come in late and leave early and never really connect with anybody. By the way, if you come late and leave early, please don't complain about not connecting with anybody. All right? This is one of my, I'm getting up in my little soapbox here. I do that every once in a while. This is one of my little church pet peeves. We say, nobody talked to me. And we showed up 5 minutes early and then we could not, or 5 minutes late, and we could not get out of church quick enough, and we sprinted to the parking lot and then we get upset that nobody talked. This church has been described by multiple people as being freaky friendly. People here will love you. We've experienced that as we moved here over 3 years ago, and I know many of you have as well, that this church just enjoys being together. That's awesome. So don't come late and leave early and be like, no one talks to me. We will talk to you. We will talk your ear off. You will try to get away from us. But this unexplainable joy comes in serving other. And here is how it's manifested. The growth of our fruit, not only demonstrated in the unexplainable joy, but it's also demonstrated in selfless love. Selfless love. Look at what Jesus said there, starting in verse 12 of John 15. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. So let's talk about selfless love. Number one, selfless love is sacrificial love. Selfless love is sacrificial love. I don't think there's probably any of us that we love having relationships with anybody who all they ever do is take. Isn't that draining? When you have someone who you're friends with or family with or whatever, co-worker, and all they ever do is take from you, at some point you're like, okay, that's enough. We're done with that. Selfless love is sacrificial love. That's a giving love. That is giving of all that I have. Look, in fact, what Jesus said there. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Now we know certainly Jesus did that, right? He went to the cross, not only for his friends, but for his enemies, for all people who ever lived and ever would live. That's great love, and he has called us to have that same kind of love. But selfless love is also friendly love. Look there in verses 14 and 15. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. And so this selfless love is friendly love. Church, you know what we should be within the walls of this church, of those who are part of Spring Valley? We should be friends. That doesn't mean we're going to be best friends with everybody. That's okay, but we should be friends. But we should also be friends with all those who name the name of Jesus, regardless of what church or denomination they go to. We're to be friends. That Jesus has called us his friends. He didn't put a denomination on there. He didn't put a local church on there. He said, you're my friends. If we're Jesus friends, we should be friends with each other. But selfless love is also a replicating love. It's a replicating love. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What does it mean to have a replicating love? It means that part of the demonstration of our fruit, and that our fruit is growing, is that we're seeing others who are coming after us who have fruit, and that their fruit is growing. That should start in our families, but it should extend to our, Josh talked about it earlier, our areas are our spheres of influence. Our extended family, our neighbors, our workplace proximity associates, those at our school, all sorts of different areas. We have a sphere of influence that only we have access to. Can I tell you something? Pastor Josh is a great family life pastor. He's awesome. We have been incredibly blessed to have him here these last 2+ years. But can I tell you something that he can't do? There's a lot of things. We don't have time for all that, but the one thing I'm specifically talking about, he cannot influence and reach your sphere of influence like you can. In fact, he may never meet some of the people in your circle of influence. But you know who does have impact? You. You have that impact and influence. You are the one that God has strategically and intentionally placed in that position to reach those around you. Selfless love is a replicating love. It's reaching out to those who do not know Jesus and inviting them into a relationship with Jesus. We call it sharing the gospel. It's reaching out to those around you who do know Jesus and encouraging them and bringing them along in a deeper, abiding relationship with Almighty God. You know what it is? It's bringing others along to where you already are. So that means in our lives, there has to be growth, right? In our lives, there has to be progression towards being more and more like Jesus Christ. And then what we do is we go and bring along others with us, that we're leading them. If you go all throughout Scripture, you know what we see time and time again? We see God talking about shepherds and sheep. We don't see God talking about cowboys and cattle drives. You see, what a cowboy does on a cattle drive is they're at the back of the herd. Thank you. I was thinking flock. Flock of cows. At the back of the herd, and he's got a whip or something, and maybe some dogs, and they're pushing the cows forward. What a shepherd does is a shepherd gets out in front and lovingly calls to the sheep, and the sheep are just dumb enough to follow. That's what a replicating love is that we're shepherding, we're bringing along. But selfless love is also obedient love. Look at verses 12, 14, and 17. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is what I command you. Love one another. There's two words that show up in each of those verses. Command and love and friends. Those are the words that show up repeatedly in those verses. So here's what we have to understand. Loving others is not a choice that we have. It's a command to obey. So listen, if you're one of those people and you hate the world, get over it, because God has commanded you to love others. If you're one of those people that you just can't stand certain people, you need to get rid of the sin in your own life and begin to obey God by loving those other people. And so when we say it's love God, that's a command. When we say it's love others, that's a command. Show up next week, we'll tell you what else is a command, all right? And so what we have is we have this in front of us that God is saying, hey, listen, you have been loved, and so because of that love, you also need to love, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done, regardless of how many times they've hurt you or burned you. Now listen, that love does not mean you have to be best friends with them. It means you need to love them as God has loved us. Think about your own life. How many times have you sinned against God? My guess is a lot. Just looking at my own life. Yet God continues to love and forgive us. I don't get it at all. Because if I was God, thankfully I'm not, but if I was God, I'd have cut all of us off a long time ago. That's why Peter one day said to the Lord, how many times should we forgive someone who sins against us? Seven times? Now you know why he said seven? Because the thought of the day in Israel was, you forgive someone three times and that's it. And so Peter doubled up and added one. So he thought he was like super spiritual right there, right? Seven times? And Jesus is like, nah, man. Seven times 70. Now he wasn't saying 490. We count up to 490 and then 491 we cut him off. Because none of us are going to remember that many, right? What he was saying, we just keep forgiving. We just keep loving. It's a command that we have. When we abide and remain in the Lord, in other words, when we love God, we see that there is fruit. When we demonstrate our unexplainable joy and selfless love by loving others, we see that there is growth. So this is displayed for us in two ways. Go back to that little circle at the top of the page there. It's displayed in two ways, connecting and serving. Connecting and serving. How do we connect here at Spring Valley? Thank you so much for asking that. We have this thing every Sunday morning. We have one on Monday nights as well called Connect Group. It's an opportunity for you to get in a smaller setting to study the Bible. Now, right now, for one more week, adults, we're meeting in the fellowship hall. After that, we'll go back to smaller classes that you'll have an opportunity to go and be a part of. And in that class, guess what you get to do? It's in the name. You get to connect with other people. You get to connect with the Word of God. We get to study the Bible together. Most of the classes are sitting around where you're facing each other, so you actually have to, you know, interact with other people and maybe, I don't know, love others. And it's an opportunity to do life together. We connect, but then we also serve. How do we serve? Well, we served out of our connect groups. We'll talk more about that next week. And this is displayed in two ways. Gathering weekly, that's what we're doing right now, and grouping regularly. You can see those right there on that circle. We gather and we group. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how it is that we grow and how it is that we see fruit growing in our lives and in others. And I was thinking about 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this. Peter is writing, and he says, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. Stop right there. Here, I think many times we miss this. We think that God's will, that living the Christian life is really hard, it's hidden, it's difficult. What does Peter say right here? He is giving us everything required for godliness. Everything. It's already here. He's given it to us. We just have to walk in that obedience. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, by these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quick poll. How many of you like to feel useless? Okay, I'm apparently the only one with my hand raised right now. We don't like to feel useless. How many of us want to feel useful for God? You can raise your hand on this one. All right, that's a good majority of us right there. We want to. So here's how this works. All right, we have a little chart here. This is where you can diagram something out. So you're going to make 8 steps right there. Do we have that picture, guys? She didn't send that picture. All right. Well, we have. This is what you do. All right. I want you to draw 8 steps. 8 steps. Like steps. You know what steps are, right? Now, for me, when I draw, it's very. I don't have artistic ability, so it's like. This, and then it goes up, and then this, and then it goes up, right? Some of you might want to draw a grand staircase. I don't care. Just draw 8 steps. And on the bottom step, you're going to write the word faith. Faith. This is what he said. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. So it starts with faith. You know what that is? That's beginning of relationship with the Lord. Faith. How do we come to have relationship with Jesus? Faith, belief, trust. On that next step, you're going to write goodness. What is goodness? Well, God is good. Everything that he does is good. So if we're going to take goodness, we're taking the essence of who God is and saying, I'm going to put that into practice in my own life. Did we get it? It's right there. So now you can see what I'm talking about. That's my drawing. That's the extent of my artistic ability right there. I want you to know that. It took me like 3 hours. On the next line there is knowledge. Now we're taking our faith that we believe and the essence of who God is and putting it into practice in our lives. And now we are taking knowledge where we're studying the Word of God and we're learning what God has to say to us and putting it into our minds. Then self-control. Self-control is, it really should be called spirit control, because this is where we stop just doing whatever our flesh desires and we actually go and listen to the Spirit of God in our lives so that we can walk in righteousness. Then endurance. What is that? That's patience. That's being able to make it to the end. It has been often said that the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Now, I want to go on public record saying I, for no reason, ever intend to run a marathon. For any reason whatsoever. I just want to put that out there. Not that many of you thought that was going to happen anyway, but I just want to put that out there. But when we're talking about the Christian life, we're not talking about a real short distance. We're talking about from when we believe until when we die. That's a long time as far as we're concerned. But on the scope of eternity, it's a blip. But we have to have this endurance to finish well. Godliness. What is godliness? It's simply the qualities of who God is, of living and looking and acting and talking and thinking like Jesus Christ. And then brotherly affection, you know what that is? That we start to actually like each other, church. And then lastly, love. You know what love is? This word love here, this is the agape love. This is the love of God that knows no beginning and no end. It's the love of God that never fails, never falters, never goes away. It's the love of God that always has been and always will be, and we're supposed to have that same characteristic in our lives. And if you look there, as you go up, what does it say? That it's increasing measure of usefulness and fruitfulness. Now, if you're at the faith level, you believe, and that's all that you've got in your life right now, don't try to jump all the way to love. You know what you do? You take little steps. Little steps. and you work on saying, okay, well, all right, I believe, so I'm gonna go up to goodness. I'm gonna take God's good qualities and inherent traits and kind of put them into my life, and we go on so forth and so on. And you know what we find? Every step of the way, every single one of those, we are useful to the Lord. We can be fruitful. And as we go up, it increases the amount of usefulness and fruitfulness. Because what did Peter say there? He said, this is all so that they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful. You know when this all happens? Let me tell you when this all starts. You hear us talk about it a lot because we believe it is of utmost importance. This starts for us when we seek God daily. If you look back on that circle, what's that? The very center thing. Why? Because it should be the center of our lives. Seeking God daily. This morning, we have for sale out there the Word of Life Quiet Time. We don't make any money out of that. We actually lose a little bit of money because we want you to have this your quiet time, your Bible study for the year. I have been using the Word of Life Quiet Time for 21 years now. This can be a springboard for us to study the Word of God together. By the way, if you don't have $20, we want you to be able to study God's Word. All right, we just want to put that out there. Don't let the money hinder you from having a tool that you can use. This all happens when we begin to have time with God daily. Last week, Pastor Josh gave us our next step to abide and remain. I'm going to give you the next step. Here it is. To take the next step in my relationship with the Lord. Here's what I mean. If you're currently never opening your Bible apart from being here in church, here's your next step. Seek God daily. Now for you, that might be three times this next week that you sat down and had time with the Lord and you studied His Word and prayed for 5 minutes. Make that your goal. Or maybe you're already doing that, you need to go every day. Here's another next step. Maybe you're just someone who's been attending for a long time. God is calling you to join and be a part of Spring Valley Church. Take that next step. Maybe you only come to this worship service. Your next step, be involved in Sunday morning or Monday night Connect group. Maybe currently you don't give of your money at all, and your next step is to begin giving. Or maybe you already are giving somewhat to increase your giving or be more consistent in your giving. Maybe you're sporadic in your attendance. Your next step is to be consistent in your attendance. Maybe you're a member here, but you don't do anything else. It's time for you to begin serving. That's your next step. Maybe you're already serving, but God's calling you to sacrificially serve. Maybe you have never, ever shared the gospel with anyone ever. Your next step is in the next week to find, or the next 2 weeks to find one person to share Jesus with. Maybe you have shared the gospel before. Your next step is to share Jesus on average with one person a week. You see, every single one of us, myself included, can all find what that next step is that God's calling us to. He's calling us to go further into deeper relationship and intimacy with Him. We do that when we begin to love God. We seek after Him daily. We gather weekly, which allows us to give consistently. We then begin to group regularly. We come and get into that Bible study, which causes us to love others. You see, what we're talking about is God is always calling us to that next thing. He's always taking us deeper. God has never looked at a single person and be like, "You're good, man. Just stay where you're at. Don't learn anything else. Don't grow. You're good. Just hang out." No, He's always calling us to more. You know why? Because God desires deep personal connection with us. Not because he's lonely, but because he loves us. Because he has this great, big, unexplainable, unimaginable love for us, he wants to be with us in deep relationship. So church, he's calling us to that next step. He's calling us to love God. He's calling us to love others. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, for every single one of us in here, Lord, I believe that there is a next step that you're calling us to. And Lord, right now, I believe that most of us, if not all of us, are sitting here and we know what that next step is. We might even be afraid to mention it out loud because we're afraid to take that next step. But God, you are calling us into deeper love and a deeper intimacy with you, to greater service. So Father, I pray that you would help us to respond in obedience. I pray that you would help us to say, Lord, I'm willing to take that next step. I know what that step is, and I'm willing to go. Father, may we not only know that there is fruit, but may we see our fruit growing. Lord, would you help us to walk in obedience, intimate obedience? Would you help us to respond by saying yes to you today? I'm willing to take that next step. Father, for some of us here this morning, that next step might be faith. We might be here that we've never put our faith and trust in you. I pray that today would be our day of salvation. Help us to do what you've called us to do, what you put a want to in our heart to do. Friend, I'm just going to ask right now in this moment of quietness with no one looking around, do you know Jesus this morning? I said it earlier, not do you know about Jesus, do you know Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in him and him alone? He died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, all the wrong things you've ever done. He was buried and rose again, and he's standing in front of you this morning calling you to come. Would you respond to him? Jesus follower, you're sitting here this morning, you know Jesus. What's the next step he's calling you to? What's that next thing that he wants you to walk in obedience towards? I don't know what it is, but you probably do. Would you be willing to step out in faith this morning? Lord, I pray you would help us to respond as you've called us to respond. You put a want to in our heart this morning. May we take that next step for you in Jesus' name. Amen.